مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم to this edition of the Truthful Connection, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online. صوت أهل السنة والجماعة, The Voice of the أهل السنة والجماعة in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just completed our segment on parliamentary talk with our brother Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. We now cross over to brother Abu Bakr Sidat for our program Biladul Muslimin. And brother Abu Bakr Sidat, he discusses the situation in different Muslim countries. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Abu Bakr Sidat.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana. How are you keeping this morning?
Alhamdulillah, we have overcast weather in Durban today.
Alhamdulillah, this is only the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have some clear weather coming upon with a little bit of a breeze. Alhamdulillah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Jazallahu Anna Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Bima Wa'alu. Welcome to Biladul Muslimin, the land of the Muslims. Over the past few weeks, we have been discussing the country Afghanistan, and we just dealt with its situation, its political situation, and everything. This week, Alhamdulillah, through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maulana, we are going to discuss the war in Afghanistan, and this is a period between 2001 and 2021. The war in Afghanistan was an armed conflict that took place from 2001 to 2021, launched as a direct response to the September 14 attacks. The war began when an international military coalition led by the United States invaded Afghanistan, declaring it as Operation Enduring Freedom as part of the earlier declared war on terror, toppling the Taliban-ruled Islamic Emirate and established the Islamic Republic, that is, established the Islamic Republic 3 years ago. The Taliban and its allies were expelled from major population centers by U.S.-led forces, supporting the anti-Taliban Northern Alliance. Osama bin Laden, meanwhile, relocated to neighboring Pakistan. The conflict officially ended with the 2021 Taliban offensive, which overthrew the Islamic Republic and reestablished the Islamic Emirate. It was the longest war in the military history of the United States, surpassing the length of the Vietnam War, which went from 1955 to 1975, by approximately 6 months. Following the September 11 attacks, President George W. Bush Jr. demanded that the Taliban immediately extradite Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden to the United States. The Taliban refused to do so without evidence of bin Laden's involvement. And I think this is where Taliban justice and the Islamic justice comes to the fore, Maulana, in that the Taliban said, we will prosecute Osama bin Laden provided you give us the evidence that he was involved in the 9/11 attacks. After expelling the Taliban and their allies, the U.S.-led coalition remained in Afghanistan, forming a security mission sanctioned by the United Nations with the goal of creating a new democratic authority in the country that would prevent the Taliban from returning to power. And this is their democracy. The Taliban is excluded from participating in their democracy. A new Afghan interim government administration was established and international rebuilding efforts were launched. By 2003, the Taliban had reorganized under their leader, Mullah Omar, and began a widespread insurgency against the new Afghan government and the coalition forces. Insurgents from the Taliban and other Islamist groups wage asymmetric warfare, fighting the guerrilla warfare in the countryside, suicide attacks against urban targets, and reprisals against perceived Afghan leaders. Security, unable to eliminate the Taliban through military means, coalition forces and separately the Afghan government led by Ashraf Ghani, before him was Hamid Karzai, who was in power, turned to diplomacy to end the conflict. These efforts culminated in the U.S. Taliban deal in February 2020, which stipulated the withdrawal of all U.S. troops from Afghanistan by 2021. In exchange, the Taliban pledged to prevent any military group from staging attacks from Afghan territory against the U.S. and its allies. However, the Afghan government was not a party to the deal and rejected its terms, though it was placed in power. The Ashraf Ghani's government was excluded from the negotiations that were taking place with the Taliban and the United States of America under the auspices and the patronage of the Qatari government. Coinciding with the withdrawal of troops, the Taliban launched a broad offensive throughout the summer of 2021, successfully establishing their control over Afghanistan, including the capital city of Kabul on the 15th of August. On the same day, the last president was formally brought of the Islamic Republic, Ashraf Ghani, fled the country, the Taliban declared victory, and the war was formally brought to a close. It has been suggested that Ashraf Ghani went away with something like $160 million of Afghan money when he fled the country, and the collapse of the whole Afghan security forces, on whom the United States had spent several billion dollars training, just disappeared into thin air. By the 30th of August, the last American military aircraft departed from Afghanistan, ending the protected U.S. military-led presence in the country. Overall, the war killed an estimated 212,000 plus people, including 46,319 civilians. Doesn't this resonate about the offensive and the oppression that is being carried out in Gaza and in the West Bank, where the Zionist Israeli forces have killed nearly 40,000 men, women, and children, especially civilians, over the nearly 9 months of conflict that has arisen in Palestine. While more than 5.7 million former refugees returned to Afghanistan after the 2001 invasion, by the time the Taliban returned to power in 2021, 2.6 million Afghans remained refugees, while another 4 million were internally displaced. This 20-year armed conflict between 2001 and 2021 is referred to as the war in Afghanistan, in order to distinguish it from the country's various other wars, notably the ongoing Afghan conflict in which it was a part, and the Soviet-Afghan war. From the perspective of the West, the war is divided between 2001 and 2014. This is the United Nations mission, when most combat operations were performed by coalition forces. And 2015 to 2021, the Resolute Support mission, when the Afghan armed forces did most of the fighting against the Taliban. The war was named Operation Enduring Freedom from 2001 to 2014. And its Operation Freedom Sentinel from 2015 to 2021 by the U.S. Alternatively, it has been called the U.S. War in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan itself, the war is known as simply as the war in Afghanistan. The Taliban emerged from a religious students known movement known as the Talib, who sought to end warlordism in Afghanistan through stricter adherence to the Sharia. On 27 September 1996, the Taliban, with military support by Pakistan and financial support from the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, seized Kabul and founded the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. I think we must exclude the U.S. in there. The Taliban imposed their fundamentalist Deobandi interpretation of Islam in areas under their control, issuing edicts forbidding women to work outside the home. Because of the security situation, these warlords were kidnapping women, raping them, molesting them, and made it difficult for women to move around. And the Taliban took a decision where they said they should not move around outside their homes, attend school, or leave their homes unless accompanied by a male mahram. The Northern Alliance confined the country's northeastern corner. Fighting alongside Taliban forces were some 28,000 to 30,000 Pakistanis, usually also Pashtun, and 2,000 to 3,000 Al-Qaeda supporters. The 9/11 Commission in the U.S. found that under the Taliban, Al-Qaeda was able to use Afghanistan as a place to train and teach fighters, import weapons, coordinate with other jihadists, and plot terrorist actions, not freedom actions, Maulana. While Al-Qaeda maintained its own camps in Afghanistan, it also supported training camps of other organizations. An estimated 10 to 20,000 men passed through these facilities before 9/11, most of whom were sent to fight for the Taliban against the United Front. A smaller number was inducted into Al-Qaeda. After August 1998, the United States Embassy bombings were linked to Bin Laden. President Bill Clinton ordered missile strikes on militant training camps in Afghanistan. U.S. officials pressed the Taliban to surrender Bin Laden. In 1999, the international community imposed sanctions on the Taliban. Well, Anna, this is very interesting. When they talk about the international community, is the coalition of the West under the United States of America, all the other countries in Africa and Asia are left out, and then they call it that this is international representation to make it sound as if there is consensus among the international community that what the United States is doing is correct. The Taliban repeatedly rebuffed these demands. Central Agency, Intelligence Agency, Special Activities Division, paramilitary teams were active in Afghanistan in the 1990s in clandestine operations to locate or kill or capture Osama bin Laden. These teams planned several operations but did not receive the order to proceed from President Clinton. Their efforts built relationships with Afghan leaders that proved essential in the 2001 invasion. They were just giving all Hamid Karzai, who was a member of the Unocol petroleum exploration company, and they were just feeding the tribal leaders with money so that they could get approval for the invasion of Afghanistan. On the morning of Tuesday, September 11, 2001, the total of 19 men, and this is speculation, pure speculation, affiliated with Al-Qaeda, carried out 4 coordinated attacks in the United States. 4 commercial passenger jet and airliners were hijacked. The hijackers intentionally crashed 2 of the airliners into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, killing everyone on board and more than 2,000 people in the building. Both buildings collapsed within 2 hours from damage related to the crashes, destroying and damaging nearby buildings. The hijackers crashed a third airliner into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington. The fourth plane crashed into a field near Shanksville in rural Pennsylvania after some of its passengers and flight crew attempted to retake control of the plane, which the hijackers had redirected towards Washington to target the White House. In fact, everyone, the Taliban also condemned the September 11 attacks. They also greatly underestimated the U.S.'s willingness to go to war. The U.S. was mistaken in its belief that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda were almost inseparable, when in fact they had very different goals and leaders. Immediately after the 9/11 attacks, the United States National Security Council agreed that military action would probably have to be taken against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. However, Bush decided to issue an ultimatum to the Taliban first, demanding that the Taliban hand over Osama bin Laden, close immediately every terrorist training camp, hand over every terrorist and their supporters, and give the United States full access to terrorist training camps for inspection. The same day, religious scholars met in Kabul, deciding that Bin Laden should be surrendered. However, Mullah Omar decided that turning over Osama would only be a disgrace to the Islamic Emirates, and Islamic thought and belief would be a weakness, and that the U.S. would continue making demands after surrendering Osama bin Laden, who he claimed was innocent. The Taliban refused the ultimatum, saying that Osama bin Laden was protected by the traditional Pashtun laws of hospitality. In the weeks ahead, at the beginning of the United States and NATO invasion of Afghanistan, the Taliban demanded evidence of bin Laden's guilt, but subsequently offered to hand him over to a third country if the U.S. stopped its bombing and provided evidence of his guilt. A Bush administration official later stated that the demands were not a subject to negotiation, and that it was time, therefore, the Taliban to act. Covert U.S. military action began soon after, and the war started officially on October 7, 2001. It's coincidental, Molana, that the October 7 events in Afghanistan also took place on that same date. I don't know whether there is any significance on the date of October 7. But we must remember October 7, 2023, where Hamas invaded to reclaim and liberate Palestine from the occupation forces of the Zionists. The war contained two main factions. One was the coalition, which included the U.S. and its allies, eventually supporting the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, fighting against the Taliban, its allies, and its militias. Complicating the fight were Taliban splinter groups and others, more radical religious groups such as Al-Qaeda and later the Islamic State. These radical groups sometimes fought for the Taliban, sometimes fought for their own goals, and sometimes fought against both the Taliban and the government. Afghanistan is a rural country. In 2020, some 80% of its 33 million people lived in the countryside. This predisposes warfare to rural areas and provides ample hiding spots for guerrilla fighters. The country also has harsh winters, which favors spring or summertime military offensives after winter lulls in fighting. Afghanistan is 99.7% Muslims, which affected the ideology of both the Taliban and the Afghan government. Islam has historically allowed Afghanistan to play a prominent role in its affairs, and the Taliban tribalism is largely a source of division, unlike Islam. Pashtuns are the largest ethnic group, as we said earlier, comprising between 38% and 50% of the population. Pashtunwali, the traditional way of life for Pashtuns, guided most tribal decision-making. Tribal unity was often weak as well due to Pashtunwali's method of dealing with feuds. Traditionally, Afghan leaders have depended on tribes to keep order in the rural areas because without their cooperation, the state was often ineffective and weak. Afghans were more loyal to their own community and tribe, not the state, which meant the tribes would align with either the Taliban or the government, as was most beneficial to them. The significant difference in power between the high-tech coalition militaries and the guerrilla Taliban led to asymmetric warfare. Owing to their roots in the anti-Soviet Mujahideen, Taliban carried on the guerrilla tactics developed in the 1980s. The Mujahideen operated in small cadres of 10 to 50 men, armed with a combination of outdated and usually ammunition that was captured from the Americans. The Taliban increasingly used guerrilla tactics, such as car and roadside bombs, that's IEDs, improvised explosive devices, and targeted assassinations. By 2009, IEDs had become the Taliban's weapon of choice. The Taliban also used insider attacks as the war drew on by planting personnel in the Afghan military and police forces. Though the U.S. officially invaded Afghanistan on the 7th of October 2001 by launching Operation Enduring Freedom, covert operations had begun several weeks earlier. 15 days after the 9/11 attacks, the U.S. covertly inserted members of the CIA's Special Activities Division into Afghanistan, forming the Northern Afghanistan Liaison Team. They linked up with the Northern Alliance in the Panjshir Valley, north of Kabul. In October, 12-man Special Forces teams began arriving in Afghanistan to work with the CIA and Northern Alliance. Within a few weeks, the Northern Alliance, with assistance from the U.S., ground and air forces, captured several key cities from the Taliban. The Taliban retreated throughout the country, holding steady only in the Kunduz province, outmatched by U.S. air support. By November, the Taliban has lost control of most of the country. The U.S. did not invade alone. It began with assistance from the U.K. and eventually over a dozen more countries. The U.S. and its allies drove the Taliban from power and built military bases near major cities across the country. Most Al-Qaeda and Taliban were not captured, escaping to neighboring Pakistan or retreating to rural or remote mountainous regions. On the 20th December 2001, the United Nations Authorized International Security Assistance Force, that is ISAF, to intervene against the people in Afghanistan. Then it was a question with the capture, with the retreat of the Taliban, who would lead the country became an acute political question. At the Bonn Conference in December 2001, Hamid Karzai was selected to head the Afghan interim administration, which after a 2002 Loya Jirga, that is a grand assembly in Kabul, became the Afghan Transitional Administration. The agreement provided steps that would lead to democracy for the country. Shortly after the elevation of Karzai to the president on December 5th, the Taliban may have tried to seek a conditional surrender to Karzai. There are two conflicting accounts. The first is that an agreement possibly signed by Mullah Omar, leader of the Taliban, was reached, wherein the Taliban would surrender in exchange for immunity. The second is that the agreement was more narrowly focused on surrendering Kandahar. Taliban sources, on the other hand, say that Omar was not part of the deal and was not going to surrender Kandahar. Whatever the case, the U.S. vetoed any sort of negotiation in what historian Malkasian calls one of the greatest mistakes of the war. Mullah Omar disappeared, leaving either for another part of Afghanistan or Pakistan. The Taliban subsequently went into hiding or fled to Pakistan, though many gave up arms as well. Most leaders and thousands of fighters went to Pakistan. Whether the Taliban had decided on an insurgency at this time is unknown. Taliban fighters remain in hiding in the rural regions for four southern provinces, Kandahar, Zabul, Helmand, and Uruzgan. We have come to the end of our program, Maulana. We trust that you have a wonderful day, and we pray for the people of Gaza and Palestine. And Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the Muslim Ummah. And we pray that Allah Ta'ala accept the Hajj of all the returning Hajjis, Maqbool and Mabrur.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.